Psalm 16 here. David says here, preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. And then he said, O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord. And he says, my goodness extendeth not unto thee. Literally, he reads that his goodness, all right, extends to you. But to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent in whom is my delight, their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names unto my lips. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. Now, what David was speaking about here, first of all right, was the situation in which David found himself. I mean, that's the first thing, which means the situation in which he found himself. And David here was in a difficult situation here, but then there was a type of prayer that he offered up unto God that is very strategic, which means that he demonstrated something and offered up a very strategic prayer. Now, the first thing that David said was that, preserve me, O Lord, which means that keep me in my original state of sincerity before you and an undefiled conscience. When the Bible speaks about, you know, when it says salt preserves. So when you want to preserve something, in other words, what you are doing is that you want to, let's say you want to keep something for a period of time, and you want it to remain, all right, in that original state. That's the meaning of preserve. We'll find out later on, it says, talked about his soul. If you look at the last verse, or the one before it last, thou, it says, thou will not leave my soul in hell, neither will thou suffer thy holy one to see corruption. So preservation there is to keep a person in a state where corruption does not set in. And David was facing a challenge here. And the first thing he prayed for was that his soul will not get corrupt. Now, people can get under severe pressure, right, during a time. Let's say they have a need. And so they want to use underhanded methods to try to resolve that particular situation. Where Paul said that we have renounced hidden things of dishonesty, or of craftiness, and handling the word of God deceitfully. So yeah, he was saying, God, preserve me. Keep me in that place where I am not defiled by this thing. Where he said there that their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. In other words, when people are in a time of pressure, there is a tendency to go after other alternatives apart from God himself. So his first prayer, right, was about God preserving his soul. If you look, keep your fingers here and go to Peter here, 1 Peter and chapter 1. And verse 5, all right, it says, blessed be the God, Father of our Lord Jesus, who according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven. Then he said, you are kept by the power of God. That is, you are preserved by the power of God, kept there unto salvation that is ready to be revealed. And then he says, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptation. In other words, if a person defiles their conscience, if a person chooses another option and disobeys the voice, all right, of the Spirit, and you are trying to get out of that situation, and you take other options, all right, apart from that which God is leading you into, then you must understand that you are selling your birthright for a muscle of meat. In other words, you are trading the eventual outcome and the salvation that God will have revealed in that situation and your inheritance. Remember, I was speaking about the inheritance there, where he said you are preserved by the power of God, and was talking about how that inheritance that is reserved for us comes into operation within our lives. And here it also speaks, when we go down, about an inheritance, about the fact that the Lord is my portion and my inheritance, and thou maintains my lot. So we can see the discourse here is also about inheritance. And so David is talking about how you get there, that Joseph did not corrupt himself when he was under pressure, that for conscience sake, there are certain things they did not do. In other words, look, if your conscience tells you that this is not acceptable in the sight of God for you to do in this situation simply because you want to go out. I mean, I remember a friend of mine when we were in school, all right, was ahead of us, and when we graduated, nothing was really happening for him. And so he tried to travel, and he was refused. And then he said that, you know, an uncle came to his house and was talking about traveling. And the man said, all right, go and change your name, change something somewhere, you know, grow, you know, a beard, change your face, and, you know, we will try to get you a visa. I have some links here and there, but, you know, back then it wasn't biometric, so you could change, all right, your name and tinker with it. Maybe you put your first name as your last name as your first name, and things like that. And so he did that. He still did not get it. And then he said he now went to God, and he realized that his heart had started departing from God simply because he wanted to travel. So he took time to pray and fast and obey Joel and rent his heart before God to restore himself there. And a massive door was opened. He got a job in a company, right? He worked in a company for 6 months, and that company by themselves got him a visa to America to go and work there for 18 months. So he understood that he was jeopardizing something that God had prepared by corrupting himself. In other words, the Bible says that they were tortured, not accepting that deliverance, that they might get to what is called the better resurrection. So the first prayer of David here was, preserve me, O Lord. And God, all right, is watchful about things like this. God, you know, observes this. All right, Bible says that we should exhort one another daily so that those who are going through any form of temptation and in a time of provocation, that they will not get hardened through the deceitfulness of sin, and they will not begin to depart away from the living God. Very important. The Bible says God will restore the preserved of Israel. In other words, there's a time where the tide seems to be against you, right? There are no outward manifestations, but it's a time of test. It is a time where you are being proven by God. It's a time where, you know, how you handle the small finances that God gives to you, all right, is being proven by God. Are you going to allow yourself to get corrupted, all right, because you want advantage, All right? Or are you going to go about it the way, right, of God? Which means that I'll look to you, God. And this is what David was saying, that this is the first prayer point. People shouldn't even, first of all, right? I know we're praying Psalm 68. So the first thing is that everybody should be preserved, first of all. All right? That you are preserved by God. That nobody out of pressure begins to, you know, do things, right, in order to wriggle out where you feel that, you know, you are more intelligent, you know, than other people. And I was studying today and I saw something. It says, if the, Paul said, some people have made a shipwreck of their faith because they have put away good conscience. And then I saw that when Jesus said, if your eye be single, your whole body shall be full of light. That word eye there, right, Amplified replaces it with conscience. Which means that it says, if your conscience, right, becomes corrupted, it says the light that is in you has become darkness. How great is that darkness? And when a ship goes shipwrecked there, what happens is that many a times the captain, the compass has been destroyed. He thinks that he looks out and he doesn't see anything on the radar, but there is something that can completely destroy him that is there, and goes headlong into that, and that causes a shipwreck there. So our conscience, very important. And there is a proving period in your life where you go through what is called a wilderness experience, where God preserves you, where you have food on your table, where you have water to drink, but the salvation has not yet been revealed. Where Joseph, I'm sure, could have, and he said, I am not going to do this behind my master. In other words, it's a proven period, right? And he passed the test. And that place is there for Moses also. He said, I could have enjoyed the riches of Egypt. But he decided against that. So there's a time where, all right, you are going to, and that's the prayer that David was praying. Very poor David praying Psalm 16, and this is what I'm praying to, and he said, I should teach this. Very powerful prayer here. So he said, preserve me, O God. That he talked about the fact that their sorrows shall be multiplied. Now, those that go after other gods, their sorrows, right, are going to be what? Multiplied. He said that hasting after another god, their drink offerings of blood. Now, as you go into that kind of thing, you'll start backstabbing, shedding the blood of people, all right, getting yourself involved, okay, and this thing manifests like that, right? Let's assume you start doing all those kind of things. And you're in an office. Next thing you are involved in is you are shedding the blood, trying to rise. Do you get what I'm saying here? Trying to rise in the system. So a drink offerings of blood now come into it. All right. And neither will I take up their names on my lips. And then David said this. He said, the Lord is the portion of my inheritance, and thou maintainest my lot. Lord, there was that David here understood. You know, when it says, my inheritance and my cup. Some of us, when you look at this cup, we're just copying, which means the cup must be nice. Listen, God gave Jesus cup. Jesus didn't want to drink the cup. In other words, what David was saying, like God is saying, this is your cup. It doesn't taste nice, but I am the one behind it. Are you following what I'm saying here? It was saying that, what David was saying here, was that God is the one that rolls the dice of my life. In other words, whatever comes to me, I take it, that this is for my inheritance, this is my cup I will drink of. And then he was going and said, you will find out that the lines will fall for me in pleasant places. In other words, watch it, see what's going to come out of this. But I'm not going to react to this. In other words, here is what we're saying. This is godliness and contentment. So, your friend gets a job, powerful job. He says he's earning some big amount. You get a job, right, in a place where, I mean, if somebody said this, he says on Facebook, I said this is a powerful story. He talked about the fact that when he got a job, right, after he graduated and he was working in a co-hotel. And he was given a job at something, I can't remember, but that the boss there wasn't very happy with him when he said so he should go and become the doorman. So he used to open the door. He's a graduate now. He said, and he saw his friend who was coming with his colleagues from an oil company for a training. Do you understand something? David said, you see me standing by the door. God rolled the dice, and the dice fell on the door of Echo Hotels. He said, watch it. The line will fall to me here in pleasant places. I'm going to meet somebody at this door that will take me to become prime minister. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
But for you to be reacting, listen to me, I don't understand. Why should I have this kind of job? He said, all right. In fact, even that you are in Nigeria is a problem. Which means the dice wasn't rolled properly. You should have. You shouldn't be born in Africa. You should be born in Europe or somewhere. You don't tell ya. So what's happening here? All right. So he said, the Lord, which means whatever comes, I will drink it. Do you get what I'm saying? Number one, I will preserve my soul. God preserve. I'm not talking. Then number two, these are powerful principles. Right? It says, you are my portion, all right, my inheritance and my cup, thou maintainest my lot. In other words, there are many people, the reason why they haven't seen God is that they even reject the place where they are. You understand what I'm saying? The place where they are standing, they reject it. So they can't even get rooted. When you refuse to be planted, how do you grow any root? Right? I will explain this. It's those that take root downwards that will bear fruit upwards. And that root is that some look around and say, God, you have forsaken me. And God answers and says, I cannot leave nor what forsake you. In other words, what's the testimony? He needs people who are in various positions on the earth that people will look at and say, no good thing can come out of these positions. And from there comes the fruitfulness of the Holy Spirit. Such that no man has an excuse again wherever he is, because there are witnesses who have been planted in disadvantageous positions that have become kings. That's what he wants to do through you. So he says, please, first of all, don't corrupt, all right, your conscience. Second thing, understand that lot there, what has been allotted to you. Paul said, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. That I don't like the condition I'm in. Said, my grace is sufficient for thee. So Paul said, I now take pleasure. In other words, we'll see that this is what David was saying, that I now take pleasure, this is my inheritance, this is my lot here, I'm going to drink of this cup, I'm going to take pleasure, all right, in this. And then he says, you are going to see something, that actually you looked at that thing and said, you are in jail, but you didn't know that the lines fell to me in pleasant places. Do you get what I'm saying? That there is no way I would have met the chief butler who would have introduced me. Do you get what I'm saying? That the lines are falling onto me, all right, in pleasant places. I want to say that. Are you following what I'm saying? So he said, the Lord is my portion, the portion of my inheritance now and my cup. Now I want to get into it here. So what do? Thou maintainest my lot. In other words, just take it that wherever you are now, God rolled the dice and said, this is where you should start. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes,
sir. But you don't get corrupted. Are you following me? Don't get corrupted. All right? Don't get corrupted. Allow yourself to get corrupted by anything on the outside. So it says, the Lord is the portion of my inheritance and my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. So let's take it that God, my lot here, right? You have rolled the dice. Now let's play with the cards you have given. Do you get what I'm saying? Now there is a reason why I've been given these cards. Like somebody said, I've been dealt the wrong cards. Yeah. All right? What are they now? Because he chooses the foolish things. He chooses the weak things. Right? So, take, and one of the reasons that people haven't taken the cards of their life. They wish they weren't given these cards. They wish they were went to another school. They wish they did another course. They even wish they were not born in their family. They wish their cousin was somebody else. You follow what I'm saying? If God could permit some people to change their parents, they choose who should be your father. Ah, this man, no. So he says, you maintain. The lines are falling onto me in pleasant places. He said, yea, I have a goodly heritage of the Lord. I will bless the Lord, which means instead of complaining. Are you following what I'm saying? So his testimony is that the lines are falling to me in pleasant places. All right? The lines are falling onto me in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage of the Lord. Now, because of that, I will bless the Lord at all times.
Thank you for listening.